Diligence. And we're going to talk about what it means to be diligent. What is the importance of diligence as a child of God? Praise the Lord. Can everyone hear me clearly?
Sure.
Okay. So our main text is Mark 9, 14 to 29. Mark chapter 9. Verses 14 to 29. And when we talk about diligence, we're also going to discuss powerlessness. So we're going to talk about those two areas tonight by the grace of God. So Mark 9, 14 to 29. Mark 9, 14 to 29 says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?' And one of the multitudes answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pinneth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto him, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting." Praise the Lord. From reading that passage, many of you may be wondering, why does this relate with diligence? We must be diligent in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, because that is where we receive the power to do great and mighty things. In this passage, the disciples were asking, why could we not cast them out? And our Lord Jesus Christ said, this kind cannot come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. For you to receive the power, for you to do great and mighty works, you must pray and fast. You must have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, you must be diligent in praying and fasting and doing the will of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Praise the Lord. So when we talk about the word diligence, diligence can be defined as careful and persistent work or effort. If we look at Proverbs 13, verse 4, it tells you what happens to those that are lazy and what happens to those that are diligent. Proverbs 13, verse 4, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." It's important to be diligent in all things, in the work of God, in our homes, in our careers. God has called us to be diligent. Even looking at the open heavens topic this morning, it talks about the reward of diligence. We are to be diligent. We are to be persistent and careful and not just do the work of the Lord anyhow, but we are to do it faithfully and we're to do it right. And I pray that shall be our portion in Jesus' name. Good evening, sir. For those of you that just came in, the title of our topic is Diligence. And we'll be taking our text from Mark chapter 9, 14 to 29. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29. And we just briefly described what diligence is, and we defined it as careful and persistent work or effort. Praise the Lord. So, tonight we're going to talk about how can we be diligent in the work of God. And we're going to give some examples of those in the Bible who were diligent in the work of God, and examples of those who weren't diligent in the work of God. So, how can we be diligent? First, by walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 17. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." It's either you walk in the Spirit, or someone is walking in the flesh. I pray that we will not walk in the flesh in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will help us, that we will walk in the Spirit. The Spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. For you to do the things of God faithfully, for you to really begin to work, do the work of God faithfully and carefully, you must walk in the Spirit. You can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And we can give an example of someone who was diligent in the work of God, and that is Joseph. We know of Joseph very well in the Bible. Joseph was someone who was so diligent in the work of God to the extent that he refused the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife. In spite of the position he was given in Potiphar's house, we can see what he said when he was taking care of Potiphar's house. Let's look at Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 to 12. Genesis 39, verses 1 to 12. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanted not what is with me in the house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment and saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Praise the Lord. You see, Joseph, in spite of the position he was placed, in spite of the authority he had, he refused to sin against God because he decided that he was going to be diligent in the work of God, that he was continuing to do the things of God. And he was going to do it faithfully and not in vain. It is not enough to just become a worker. After becoming a worker, go through school of disciples, Bible college, all forms of training, and not do the work of God diligently and faithfully. Because at the end, if we don't do that, one's works are in vain. And it is our prayer that as we do the will of God, we will not do it in vain, in Jesus' name. Let us look at another example, Noah. Noah was diligent in building the ark of God. He followed the instructions from God to the core. You can imagine how long it must have taken Noah to build that ark, but he was diligent. You can imagine how many times people would have walked by and looked at him and said, what is this man doing? This man has probably lost his mind. But he was focused. That's another thing with diligence. We must be focused. We must not allow the opinions or lifestyles of others dictate how we serve God. We should allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. That everything we do, we are doing it unto God and not unto men. Genesis 6, 8 to 22. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 to 22. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of copper wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive, with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Look at that last verse. It said, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. He did everything. He followed it to the letter, even in terms of how the ark was to be built. He followed it completely. When we talk about being diligent in the work of God, when God calls you to go to the left, you go to the left. When God calls you to move to the right, you move to the right. You don't second guess anything. You just follow, and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That is what we are supposed to do. We must not allow. One of the things the devil tries to do, he tries to get you to second guess what God has already called you to do. Look at Adam and Eve. They were given instructions to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But what did the devil do? He came and said, did God really say that? He was trying to get them to second guess what God had already said, trying to get them to question what God had already said. And that's what the devil will try to do. He will either do it himself, he'll try to do it himself, or he will try to get you to worship your own mind, your own mindset, your flesh, for you to live after your flesh. We'll not live after our flesh in Jesus' name. Amen. Another example of someone who was diligent in the work of God was David. I want us to focus particularly on when David went to battle. Notice how every time he went to battle, he was always inquiring of the Lord, shall I go this way? Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue? Even after he was victorious, he was still inquiring of the Lord. That's one thing we have to do when it comes to being diligent and seeking the face of God. Never get to the point where you think you have become so familiar with God, or that, oh, because I have achieved this one, I can go to the next one. I don't have to pray again. It's very important that we always pray, that we always seek the face of God, because the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And that's the difference between David and Joshua. Joshua saw the city of Ai and just said, this is a small city, overtake it. They didn't even consult God, not knowing that someone among them had carried an accursed thing and led them to be defeated. Always inquire of the Lord, no matter how many times you achieve success in life. Always seek God's face, because it is God that sees the end from the beginning. So looking at David, let us look at 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And there were more examples of how he kept inquiring of the Lord. If we go to even 2 Samuel 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 18 to 19, it says, the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. Going to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. He was even asking him, where do I go? Always ask God for direction. You may think you know, but you don't. You have to always seek the face of God in everything you do, in your career, in your education, in your place of work, in your home, everything that you do. Always put God first. Always inquire of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. David did not lean on his own understanding. That's why he was always inquiring of the Lord. Even when there was a time of battle that children and wives were taken captive and many people were calling for David to be killed, What did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. The Lord is always there for you. It is for us to seek his face. It's for us to seek him while he may be found. So what are the ways we can be diligent? We can be diligent. Number one, diligent in studying his word. We have to study the word of God every day. Not just one day, and then we don't study it the next day. It's every day. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doeth he meditate day and night." Number two, we are to be diligent in prayers. We are to be diligent in prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And we go to James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." It's not only during our morning prayers, but also as individuals, we must set aside time to seek the face of God. We are to be diligent in preaching the gospel and winning souls. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Proverbs 11, verse 30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Someone who's constantly preaching the word of God, winning souls, is wise. So we are to win souls. We are to preach the word of God everywhere we go, in our place of work, in our homes, on the streets, in the cities, in the community, to the government. The Holy Spirit has given us the power. It is for us to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. God has given us the gospel, the gospel to preach the gospel. And it is our prayer that as we go out, that we will win souls in the name of Jesus. So before we go any further, does anyone have any contributions they would like to share with us about diligence? If anyone has their own definition of what it means to be diligent and why it's so important for children of God, especially today, in the times that we are, to be diligent in the work of God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, this is a topic that we need to consider seriously as Christians, because even these days, many seminars, church programs, like, I remember, was it a year ago, the title of the Men of Valor program was the Lord's Business Required Haste. Yeah, the Lord's Business. This is exactly what diligence is all about. Because we are in the end time. We are in the end time. Most of the prophecies that the Bible says is going to happen at the end of time, they are already here with us. So we need to be focused. We need to know that we are in the last days. So there's no time to waste any longer. And diligence means hard work. That's if you are diligent, you are hardworking, you are focused, you are not distracted. That's what diligence is all about. And two examples that I would like to mention is Apostle Paul in the Bible. And Apostle Paul, the Bible scholar said, Apostle Paul was not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. Yet, he single-handedly wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He alone wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But what did he say in his testimony that helped him? In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. We can see. So every day of our life as Christians, we need to ask for the grace of God. It was the grace of God upon Apostle Paul that made him to exert, to do much, much more than most of his contemporaries, as this scripture has told us. But again, we should pay attention to something he said. He has the grace of God upon him, and the grace was the most important thing that enabled him. But he also said that, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So if we have the grace of God upon our life, and we are not diligent, we do not labor in everything that our brother has just said, prayer, preaching, all those issues, if studying the word of God, if we are not laboring, then that grace will be in vain. I pray that the grace of God upon our life will not be in vain in the name of Jesus. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. That grace was not in vain because he labored. He has the grace. And he put in all the required efforts to make that grace work. I pray that our testimonies are be like that in the name of Jesus. So we need the grace of God. We need also to labor. Also, let us turn our Bibles to John chapter 9 and verse 4. John chapter 9 verse 4. John chapter 9 verse 4. It says, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, there is no time for procrastination. As Christians, as children of God, we should have no time for procrastination. Whatever God tells us to do, we should just go ahead and do it. This is Jesus Christ speaking. So many things were brought to him. At the place, they want to make him a king. But he said, no. I know what I'm here for. There is no much time. So I have to do what I need to do. And that should be our focus also. He avoided procrastination by all means. And I pray that God Almighty will help us in the name of Jesus. Also, if we turn to John 4:34. Since we are talking about diligence. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He recognized his calling. He knows what God has called him to do, and that is his focus. As Christians, we should know what God is calling us to do. There are so many assignment that God has given us. Some are called to be preachers, some are called to be prayer warriors. God can put you in any department to work. You have to be focused. You should not be distracted. If God has called you to be the sanctuary keepers, people who keep the church of God clean, You should know it as your assignment and should do it with all your efforts. You should do it so diligently that people will say, oh, wow. So the guy that is keeping this church clean is really doing a good job. And as we are focused in our calling, we are not distracted, God will give us more grace to be able to do that work even with ease in the name of Jesus. Also, lastly, I want to make these contributions. Our brother was telling us, in which area should we be diligent? He said, in studying the Word of God, in prayers, in soul winnings, and so forth, and so forth. But let us read Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Praise the Lord. This is another area God wants us to be diligent. He said, and let us not be weary. That is saying, let us not be slack. Or let us be diligent. It's the same thing. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So in doing good, God is asking us to be diligent. God wants us all to be diligent. Many of us to be faithful is to do according to the commandment, maybe that your leader or God or somebody has given unto you, even in their absence. But these days, many of us are faithful. We are faithful. We only do what is right when somebody is there. When somebody is looking at us. To be faithful is to do that which we are commanded, whether somebody is there or not. And that is what this one is telling us. So many assignments, so many things that are good, that God has commanded us. Even assignments from our leaders, our pastors, our head of departments, as God lays it in their hands, whether they are there or not. We need to be fit. We need not to be weary. For instance, when many of us are prayer warriors, we pray in the night. It is possible to just put the phone and put it on mute and sleep and pretend that you are there. If you take the attendance by the number of people who call me, your phone is going to be there for as long as the prayer lasted. Even longer sometimes when you have slept off and you didn't know when to put it up. So, but that's not being faithful. That's being weary in well. Because prayer is one of the things we have to do. It's one of the good things that God commanded us to do. So, in doing good, we don't have to be weary. So, if we do things like that, it's not, we are being weary in well. I pray that we will not be weary in well in the name of Jesus. Another scripture that pointed to that is 2 Thessalonians 3:13. 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-being. God will help us in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, and then
praise the
Lord. Hallelujah.
I just want to give one or two examples from the Bible, from the scripture. You can see that example of Elisha. You have to have patience to be diligent. If you are not patient, you will fall by the wayside. You will not fall by the wayside in the mighty name of Jesus. There are so many things that can push us away. Elisha, I mean, example of today, the pastor says, just like the prayer. I mean, it was not something they discussed before. When I talked to pastor about the visiting provincial pastor who came, he said, I will be taking him to the airport. But at the end of the day, Pablo has discussed with the prayer, and he was ready to go.
This is what Elisha did. When Elijah told Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. He said, as the Lord lives, who are you? We are going to Bethel together. That's the first one. In fact, the son of the prophets in Bethel, they started mocking him. look at him, he's following, follow. Your girl will soon go. Elijah looked at him again and said, stay here in Jericho. The Lord has sent me. You are not going to be me. He said, no, as the Lord lives, if God is on the throne, we are going together. He went with him. I think at the third time, Elijah looked at him and said, well, this guy is ready, he's fortified. You know, when you are so, when you are persistent in doing the work of God, there's reward. And Elisha example was the reward at the end of the day. He said, hey, I need double portion of your spirit. We are living. But release that double portion of your spirit. And he was asking for it genuinely. He converted it. What did Elijah told you? He said, let me tell you, if you see me going, although this is a very hard thing for you to do, but if you see me going, you know, you will get it. In fact, when the chariot of fire came and took Elijah, and Elijah was going, he rent his clothing, My father, the chariot. So he called him, and what Elijah did was he drew his mantle. Do you know he was, they have already crossed the Jordan. Now how is he going to come back? He knew what he got. He took his mantle, Elijah's mantle, and used it on the, hit the water, and the water split. If you are not diligent, there is no reward. I mean, our father in the Lord, in his, who read today's devotion, morning devotion, he was talking about reward of diligence. You can be diligent at your work on the road, as far as you go, especially in evangelism. I know this lady, she told me, she's a Catholic. I said, and I told her, we are all worshiping the same God. And we are all going through the Lord Jesus Christ. Incidentally, for the past 3 days, I've been having this open heaven devotion, the morning devotion, that I will always, if I cannot wait in the morning to read it, Fanny will send it to my office so I will read it. So the Spirit of God will just tell me, why not give this copy? So, I read it and I gave her, you know, the one that talked about Father Abraham and Lazarus, talking about how the poor and rich man, the rich man had everything, the poor man doesn't have anything, both of them died. The rich man went to hell, the poor man went into Abraham's bosom, which is heaven. So, the rich man was suffering seriously in hell. So he asked Father Abraham to send Lazarus to him to cross, to come and dip his hand. In fact, he's not asking for a cup of water. He said, if he can just dip his hand in the water and put it in his mouth. So Father Abraham was explaining, this is our Lord Jesus Christ using this parable, this story, to explain to us that once somebody was dead, judgment begins. The man, the rich man, who was in the air, wanted the poor man to cross and give him water. But Abraham was explaining, we can only see you guys here, but there's no way we can cross. There's no way. So that thing touches me, and I went to this lady, I said, well, you know, let me give you this, just read it, and I showed her one, explained to her. You know what she told me? She said, oh my God, He said, I never knew. I said, well, he said, the problem is that we play religion too much. And it doesn't allow people to go into the Word of God and see exactly this. I bet you if many of us are reading the Word of God, things will look better. Why? Because when we go to church, we see people, any kind of church, they sing, they do everything, this thing, we play that religion and we walk away. From the beginning about the Word of God. That's the diligence we're talking about. We are only going to church just to, fulfill, not righteousness, but fulfill that religious aspect. Yes, I have to be in church on Sunday. They sing that emotional song, gets into us. But then, the underlying reason why Jesus Christ died, no church is teaching you that anymore. The underlying reason why God has to send his begotten Son to die for us. Are we really appreciating it? And you cannot appreciate it unless you read the Word of God. And if you look at John, 1 John, John 1. I just want to pick it from verse 1 to about 5 or 6. John 1. No, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shining in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's stop right there. The Word of God is God himself. Many Christians outside there, they don't even know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Because you see, if you read Genesis with this, it tells us that let us come. When he was saying let us, it's referring to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So without Jesus Christ, nobody would have been created. But if people read the Word of God, they study this Word of God, they will understand. Then there won't be all this religion thing. You go to church, you worship God in the truth, in truth and in spirit. That's the only thing. And you can't be diligent. If you come, you just say, our brother here mentioned, when you go to church, just to satisfy that coming in, they sing, they dance, and once you go out, it's a different thing entirely. So the Word has not completed, the Word of God has not completed you. So that's why I told this lady in my office, I said, well, I'm not saying that I'm not a target for anything. And she was very honest with one thing. I said, how many times did you take the Holy Scripture? He said, well, they go to church, they read that. I said, fine. But have you ever opened the Bible yourself and studied? He said, I have not done it. I said, okay. I said, well, just read what I gave to you and come and tell me. And she went through what, and when she was going home, she showed me, said, the remaining two are going to be. He said, what she got from that is so inspiring. I said, it's not magic. It's what the Word. It's not different from what is being said in Catholic, but they have their own something. But King James Version, read King James Version, which is the authenticated scripture, that will give you insight about the Word of God. Because without us knowing the Word of God, we won't be able to do things, you know, and we will be following the world, because the world is flesh. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just want to thank God for all the contributions that have been contributed. My contribution is, when you look at the word diligence, you'll see there are two constant words that is included in diligence. It includes careful and persistent. So when you are diligent, those two characters need to be in there. As you are a persistent in the work, that is W-O-R-K, not W-A-L-K, W-O-R-K. If you are persistent, and while you are persistent in the work that God has commissioned you in, you need to be careful. And as I have correctly said, when you look at the life of Joshua and you look at the life of David, when Joshua just went ahead and did not, you know, ask God for direction, the children of Israel were defeated. And that was, you know, what David, every each step he always went back, he went back to God. And another thing that I just want to point out also as to what that prayer said about doing good. You know, the Lord has been speaking to me lately, and what he has been speaking to me was in this chapter, this book, I think, Second Kings, about the story of Prophet Elisha and the woman, the wealthy woman that built a hut for him. You know, I've been reading that verse, but something just jumped at me lately. You know, when you read that verse, you will see an account of a woman that built a, even though she was a maid, she recognized that Elisha was a prophet of God, was a man of God, and put it upon herself to build the house. And you know, all along I've been thinking that when Elisha came, that was when he realized that woman had the need. But if you look at that Bible verse properly, you would see that the Bible recorded that there was a time, because the way the Bible stated it, that it was as if Elisha, after the ark was built, Elisha kept going there, but did not realize until one day. So I want my, when God was just ministering to me, I was saying that if I was a woman and I built a hut, before the Elisha came to my house, he did not mention that this woman needs a name. Let me just know, I'll close my door. He's not a man of God. He did not see my need. So, but if you read that Bible verse, I think it's 40, I'll get it for if you read that Bible verse, the Bible recorded that when Elisha came the day, he did not really say that immediately after the altar was built, and Elisha, the first day he went to a woman's house. That was what the Bible said. The Bible said that when Elisha, there was a time Elisha went there. So my own thinking is that maybe Elisha has been going there, but there was a point in time the woman did not feel doing the good work that she started to do. She kept doing it, allowing the man of God to sleep in the hut until one day that God decided to turn her story around and turn it forward. So for joy. So it's important for us to know that we need to continue diligent, we need to continue in God doing. Even when we don't see the things that we're hoping for, even when we see that things are not working the way we want it, but they just keep doing it. There's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And we should not just be myopic about our diligence. It's not only in the house of God. If you look at the case study of Jesus Christ, the Bible recorded that Jesus Christ went about doing good, not only to Christians, not only to his people, he went to different villages, he did not even say this is born again. He said, my work here is to come and heal the sick, not the ones that already, no, it's to heal the sick. So it's not only in Christendom. Our diligence also needs to transfer it to our place of work. Even though that is not the church of God, how diligent are we in the job that our boss, our employers have entrusted into them? God sees all this. It's not only in our, you know, being a prayer warrior, in the choir, in the usher. No, diligence even in the area of parents, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, all the roles that God has committed into, how diligent are we? And also, as we continue to stay diligent, let us also be careful in knowing what God will have us to do in every role that He has committed in our hands to play. We all play diverse roles. So as we go on in this journey of life, let us just know that we cannot, even when we don't see what we are expecting, we cannot afford to throw in the towel. Let's just keep doing it. It will turn around for good one day. One day it will surely come. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My own contribution is not all that long because everybody has contributed. And in support of what my pastor has just said, I just want to cite the example of Naomi, the woman was, it shows the type of another way of diligence. Even though things are just like, as Mami Pastor mentioned, things were not working well, facing tribulation, but the lady still persisted. He said he's going to follow the woman to the end. He doesn't care. So what this is telling us is that there will be a reward, no matter what. It may take long time. That is the reason why the Bible says we should not be weary in waiting. Everything that we are doing, let's just continue. Whether somebody see us, or whether they recognize what we are doing, or whether you are getting discouragement. Just once you know that you are on the right path, let's keep on. Let's keep on, and I know that God is not a liar. One day, that reward will come. One day, that recognition will come. And I pray that Almighty God will help us. We'll be able to practice this word. Because it's easy for us to say it with the mouth. Yeah. But when the thing comes to reality, it's very difficult. That is the reason why I would like to say that we need the grace of God. And I pray that we will not fail God. When what is we are supposed to be diligent about, God will give us that grace to do it in the mighty name of Jesus.
Okay.
People have said everything and we don't have time again. Yeah. So there's nothing to be said. Everybody has said all we have to say.
Okay.
We need to be diligent because we know that, in due course, we will reap, as Daddy has said, if we faint not. We need to be diligent in the place of study. We have to study to improve. We keep improving ourselves, to show ourselves a workman that did not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In fact, there is nobody who wants to succeed and is not diligent that can make it. If we must make it to heaven, there's no two ways about it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Because we're running out of time, I just want to mention four people that were not diligent. We can talk about Solomon, who, although he had great wisdom, he used it for all the wrong reasons. That's why it's not enough to have wisdom. You have to ask God for understanding how to use that wisdom. Because he took countless strange women, and his heart was turned from God. Another example is Gehazi. His greed and lies destroyed him. Then there's the young prophet who, because of food, did not follow the direction of God to continue to walk and not stay at one place to eat. And he went to eat and he was destroyed by lions because of what he heard from the old prophet, claiming that he heard from God as well. Then another example is King Saul, who he was given direction several times to do one thing and he was not following it. For example, that he was to not spare any Amalekites or the king of Agag, and he took the king of Agag and all the spoils and everything. So those are just examples of people who were not diligent. And it is our prayer that we will be diligent in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I want us to rise and we're going to pray one prayer. We're going to say, Father, help me to be diligent in all that I do. Guide me and direct me in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, to be diligent. Father, Lord, help me to be diligent in all that I do. Nation of days, help me, O Lord, to be diligent in all that I do in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me, O Lord. Everlasting Father, help me to be diligent, O Lord. Thank you, Everlasting Father. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name, O Lord. We thank you for this day which you have created. We thank you for that which you have taught us tonight. We ask, O Lord, that we'll not just be hearers alone, but we'll be doers of your word. And we're praying, O Lord, we're standing in the gap for every member in this church, O Lord. Help us to be diligent in the work of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray, O Lord, that our works will not be in vain in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I pray, O Lord, that when it's all said and done, we shall finish well and make it to heaven in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name.
Amen.
For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.